were caged birds longing for the freedom of the sky.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are a podcast that brings you reviews and updates on Book Talk's most popular books and tells you whether or not you should take time out of your busy schedule to read them. I'm Catherine.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Casey. And today we are reading an insane litfic book. So obviously one I chose. It is I Who Have Never Known Men by Jacqueline Hartman. And if you are on any of the litfic book talk circles, this book has really popped off. So we read it. It's really short. And it basically follows a young girl. It's this dystopian universe that we don't totally understand. But she's in this cage. It's like a well-lit, almost like theater, but with bars around it, with guards on the outside. And this little girl, there's some dystopian event that happens, and all the women who are with her, and then this girl who's the main character, are in there. And this girl is the only child, and she's young enough that when she went into the enclosure, that she does not remember the world outside. So this is her whole reality. And so we kind of follow her. It's only women. The only men are the guards on the outside. And shit happens, and it's kind of about her exploring her identity in a world where she doesn't really understand society in a meaningful way, has never really interacted with a man, and kind of what that means for her and the women around her.
And if you're watching on video, I'm Casey in Sacramento.
Caitlin has a vacation, a very bougie lake vacation, it sounds like, planned. And she's stopping in Sacramento. So she visited me.
To Austin and Sac this year. So you guys need to come back to KC.
That's sure. When and where?
Yeah.
KC, that's where.
I know, but yeah. But there needs to be a reason for it.
To hang out.
Okay. I spent money on a plane ticket. I need an event.
Anyway.
Just saying, there was no event when I went to Austin.
You're right. No, you're right. I need to go to KC.
You had better cut all of this out. Us arranging our like friendship meetups. Do you guys have reviews?
Yes, I have a great review and I want to read it first just in case one of y'all found it, because it's freaking
fun. I don't go to Goodreads or else we all end up with the same one.
Yeah, but Casey goes to Goodreads, so I know. So this is a 1-star review on Goodreads, and it says, "Wish I was I who have never read this book."
That is good. That's not my review. Do you want to go next or should I go next?
Sure. I have a 5-star in a similar grain. It says, "I who have never wanted it to end."
Wow.
Wow.
That's ambitious. Okay. I have also a 1-star. And it says, 1,000% disagree with nearly every single point raised here. And that's why I'd thrive in a barren wasteland.
Period.
I did not agree with that person's perspective, but I did think it was funny.
Well, the rest of society also didn't agree with that person's perspective. The overall Goodreads rating is a 4.1 out of 5. And both Fable and Storygraph are a 4.2 out of 5. So where did y'all fall on the star ratings?
I feel like we should make you go first.
Yeah. Oh, you want to make me go first?
You're the lowest review, so you should
For sure I am. but to be fair, to give this book its flowers, I appreciate what it was doing. I am completely indifferent to it, though. I didn't hate it, didn't like it. I'm indifferent. Like, it's like...
I called it after I finished it and said it was going to be one of those rare ones where Casey and I like it and Catherine does not.
Yeah, you definitely called it. I gave it 3 stars because I appreciate the nuance, the perspective, and the new story. Like, I've never seen anything like it. But there are points of it where I obviously know it's not written for me and my target audience. I'm too type A for this kind of book. I can't do the no chapters thing. It pisses me off endlessly. And that was hard for me to overcome, and I just didn't. So it's a 3-star.
Fair enough. All fair points, I think.
Okay, so normally those things sort of bother me. I actually really liked this book just because it was so weird. Mm-hmm. And the, like, psychoanalysis of, like, the human condition.
Yeah.
The commentary was all really good. So I give it 4 stars. Not 5, because you know I hate a book with loose ends at the end.
Right.
You know I hate that.
I did. I guessed that Catherine would be the lowest review after I read this book, but I wasn't sure on you just because of the plotlessness of it.
Yes. It was like a weird, perfect combo of just like the really cool, like, sociological side of it. And I don't know. I liked the writing too. Like,
yeah.
And the girl was kind of funny.
She was like making funny jokes. Yeah. And she wasn't.
I liked the narrator. Yeah. No, I appreciated the narrator, actually.
Just aimlessness. And there was not a resolution that I was okay with. So not 5 stars for me, but it made me laugh a few times. So, like, I don't know.
Wow. Honestly, I'm chuffed because these are both pretty positive reviews from the two of you.
It's because there's no sorority girls turning men into bunnies.
Okay. Well, that was targeted. one of my favorite fall reads, if you guys have taken a look at the Instagram recently, Bunny. So anyway, of course, I gave this book 5 stars. I'm obsessed with this book. I think this will probably be one of my favorite books this year. I liked all the things, Caitlin, you liked about it. I loved the commentary. It was really interesting to see how free women can be in a society with no men in it. But obviously, there's also this really dystopian context. So there was also just like a lot of commentary on loneliness and being watched and like what it really means to have freedom. Like, I just thought there were so many really deep points in the book that were so well executed. I loved the main character. I thought her relationship with the other women in the book was really fascinating because it's basically like she's an alien because all the women are older than her and understand society and, you know, have all these socialized norms that this girl doesn't have because she just doesn't.
It's like giving kid raised in the wilderness with no family.
A family.
Except she was around plenty of adult women who could have helped her, you know?
Right. Well, yeah, and then they wouldn't explain anything to her.
Yeah, I mean, she's also an unreliable narrator.
Like, I don't know, we tried to teach you math one time.
Yeah, because also think about how weird, and because you can understand both perspectives of it, because the narrator is like, why don't you teach me things? And the women are like, you don't need to know any of this because there's no society. Like, this is all obsolete knowledge that we only have because of a very specific context we grew up in that no longer matters.
But I feel like they could have mothered her more.
I mean, yeah, but also they were in a cage.
Yes, all fair points.
Okay,
would rather not be in the cage, but couldn't do anything about it.
Right. Yeah, they also could not commit suicide. So there's, anyway, we should wait to discuss the book, but yes. Okay, so shorts, I loved it. I gave it 5 stars. Okay, so was the book more plot or character driven?
Well, there's no plot.
Yeah.
No plot.
It's all about this girl trying to figure out how to exist.
The characters driven.
Yeah. Keep reading to see if she escapes.
Yeah.
And
the only plot point is a spoiler, so we can't share it.
The only plot point is a spoiler, but you know that she's writing about her experience because the whole thing is her written record of her life.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Yeah, we can't.
Just trust us, it's character.
Have you or would you read other books by the author? I have not.
I haven't either. I definitely would, but I'm actually not sure what else this author has written.
I might. Depends.
I'm going to look her up really quick.
Oh, wow. She was born in 1929 and was half Jewish and moved to Casablanca when the Nazis invaded.
Actually, okay, so after I finished this book, I like Googled everything I could find about it. And I was like, yes, it makes absolute sense that this was written by basically a Holocaust survivor.
Yeah, now that you say that.
Yeah.
Well, I knew it was French originally. Like, it was written in French and then translated into English. And I was like, this is the most French novel I've ever fucking read. Because, like, if you know the French, they're very philosophical with a lot of loose ends.
I will say that makes it sound really obscure and like we just randomly picked it, but I literally had a coworker say, hey, I'm reading this new book. You've probably never heard of it. It's called I Who Have Never Known Men. I was like, I finished it last night.
Yeah, so it's not as obscure as you think.
No, it's really, like, it's a popular book.
It's because it's leaking over from litfic fan base into dystopian fan base, which,
well, and the girlies are all reading the dystopian sci-fi right now, and yep, this is a girl written dystopian, so
she's a psychoanalyst as her day job, or she was, she died in 2012.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yes, a psychoanalyst who like witnessed one of the most horrific events of modern history.
I felt psychoanalyzed by this book.
Yes, I felt like she knew what I was thinking. It was,
yes.
Yes. It was one of those, okay, that's probably why I liked it. It's one of those where I could have a dialogue with myself and yes, then the book would like answer my next thought and like prompt me to think more. I love yeah, books that make you think. That's why I like Tinder is the Flesh, despite how disgusting it was. Like, it just makes you think about the human condition and all those things.
Oh my God. She contracted tuberculosis.
Everything is tuberculosis. I'm happy she survived.
Yeah, she did. She wrote 4 books, then had a 20-year hiatus, and then wrote the rest of her 12 books.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I should read another.
Also,
it sounds fascinating. Is one of them an autobiography or a memoir? Because that sounds the most interesting.
Definitely read.
Most of them have not been translated into English.
Yeah.
Only 2 have been translated into English, and that's one of them is one we read.
Yeah. And one of them is called The Mistress of Silence. So it appears that silence is a huge theme in her books, which silence is also a huge theme in this one.
Mm-hmm. Orlando is the only other book that is English translated, according to Goodreads.
Well,
better learn French.
Yeah. Maybe. I'm sure they'll start doing it since this book has gotten so popular.
Yeah, I believe that.
What about the pacing of the book? And how long did it take you to read? And I said very specifically, you keep reading to find something out, but I can't tell you what it is without ruining like the whole book, well, half the book.
Yeah. I read this in one plane ride. I was on a plane ride from Sacramento, where I live now, to DC. And that's a 3-hour plane ride. And I actually read this book and Everything is Tuberculosis both in this plane ride.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good.
I slammed through this book. I was obsessed with it. I read it second. And as soon as I got back to Wi-Fi land, I like Googled everything I could find and like read all the Reddit threads that I could find. See, about we this book.
I just sat there and like stared at a wall and thought about it.
Yeah. I finished it 5 minutes before we recorded this podcast. So
yeah, it took Catherine what, like
a week? Yeah, it took Catherine.
So here's my issue. And I truly do believe that this book needs to be read in one sitting. I don't think this is a book that you can pick up and put back down, because that's what happened to me. And I never wanted to pick it back up.
False. I did. Oh, I probably read
that's
it
impressive. In
just because I was busy. But I just wanted to know the thing. So I kept reading. Also, I like that sort of stuff a bit more than you, depending on the topic.
Yes. I would just say it's hard to find a place to stop because there is no clear stopping points.
It is. Find a place to stop.
I would just on my Kindle, just shut my Kindle.
Well, that's what I was forced to do because I started it at the tail half of a plane ride. And then I had to close it because we were deplaning. And then I picked it up right before this podcast recording.
Am I the only one who didn't read it on a plane?
Yes.
Yes. So, only 3 of us here. But yeah, no, I actually highly advocate the all-in-one experience because I really feel like I just lived this book.
I don't know if we've said it either. It's short.
It's really short.
Like I think, 180 pages or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so you can bang it out. I think I read it in 2 hours, maybe 2.5. But yeah. It really does a lot to just feel like you're in this freaking cage with the narrator. Trapped, but in a good way. For
I'm
me.
A little bit weirded
in
out.
In a good way?
A little bit weirded out by the narrator. Yeah. Okay. Would you watch a movie or a TV show of the book?
No.
Only because I know the ending.
I actually would. I would. It would be very, it would have to be very art ho-esque because there's basically no ending. Like, again, it's hard to describe without spoiling the book, but I think it could be good. And I would be really interested to see how they accomplish it. But because I just really want to interact with all the other women.
There's what's that Emma Stone movie? The weird one.
Yeah, I know Pretty Little Things. Yeah.
Where you don't know the point, but you feel like you thought a lot. And it's the weirdest shit you've ever seen.
I think, so this book is very, very centric and focused on the main character, which I think the book is successful in. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I'd be curious about in a movie is seeing the other woman brought to life a little bit more.
Well, and like 75% of the book is inner dialogue.
Right.
That'd be hard to do.
It would be hard just, honestly, it might be, the reason it's hard is because you couldn't make it a TV series, but it might honestly be too short of a movie. I feel like it's more like an hour-long movie, like probably.
True False.
Yeah, yeah. It needs to be like a short.
Like an indie doc. Like
all in French.
Micro doc. Yeah. Hopefully not. All in French, yeah.
Honestly, though, that would sell at True False.
It would. True False is a documentary film festival in Columbia, Missouri, where we went to college, for those who don't know.
They're not all strictly documentary, though. There's some weird.
Yeah. They like to toe the line between fact and fiction.
Yes.
True false.
Oh.
There is also a game that they do where they have people submit shorts and the audience has to guess if it's a false, like fictional narrative or a documentary. So that's pretty fun. Next is our busy girl rating. I can speak for myself already. I'm going to give it a 5 because it was really short and I loved it.
I'm going to stick with a 4 just because it's not for everybody.
It's definitely weird.
I'm going to stick with a 3 because it's not for everybody. And it requires you to have at least 3 hours on your hands, or at least like 2 hours on your hand.
Oh, please.
Normal people, it's probably more guys.
Yeah.
You guys read really
so
fast.
Most books we read require us to have 10 hours on our hands.
No, but all in one sitting is what I'm advocating for. You have to be sitting there for that time.
Fine. Well, it's fall, so cozy up and read the weirdest book of your life.
Okay, Kate. Do you guys want to get into spoilers so that we can actually talk about the plot twist?
No leaves and stuff outside.
Yeah, you don't want to even leave your house just at all. Probably a weird one for moms.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't think moms would like this.
No.
Have your moms read it.
Have your mom. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Fiona would not like this book.
I
don't know what Stacey would feel like.
My mom just wouldn't read it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll give it to her and see what she thinks. We share a Kindle, so what? Like, she has access to this book.
Anyway, this book also has a lot about femininity and motherhood, which is why we're saying it might be weird for moms. Yeah. Okay. Spoiler alert. We're going to spoil all these, like, this one plot point we can't tell you. Okay, so go read it and then come back because we're about to spoil it.
Spoiler alert, there's no ending.
They don't figure out what happens.
No.
She doesn't figure it out.
They escape into another prison.
Maybe another planet.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It's a mystery.
Is she still alive? I don't know.
No, she's dead.
Are other people out there? Don't know.
Where's all the people? We don't know. Why were they in those cages? No one knows.
Where did the guards go? No one knows.
Maybe that's why I was okay with it, because there were literally no answers instead of just missing like one key answer. I was just like, well.
You assume she finds that space book, so you kind of assume they're not on Earth.
Yeah.
But I was sort of thinking this sounds like a computer simulation. Like, I don't know.
About, like, planting roses.
Yeah.
It's a very Earth thing.
It's true.
It reminded me of like almost Hunger Games. And, like, they're all in an arena under an experiment.
Right.
Right, but where did the guards go?
Exactly.
Farm?
Hovercrafts. I don't know.
Exactly.
Right.
So many questions. Okay, so spoiler alert. None of your questions are answered in the entire book.
Yeah.
Just think a lot.
Yeah, it is solely about the experience of the main character in what is essentially a thought experiment brought to life about what happens when you raise someone basically completely isolated from meaningful society and completely isolated from men, and give them like no concept of privacy or aloneness, and then they die alone.
And how even talks about like growing up with the concept of like sexual intimacy changes mm-hmm. who you are as a human, because she's right. like, why would I touch another person?
Yeah, she doesn't even understand the basis of why, like what even happens when you touch someone else.
And also the best
part, the other women, yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah.
The best part, you don't get a period apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, also what was wrong with her?
Well,
malnutrition probably.
But. Right. Who even knows? I mean, in a different atmosphere as opposed to Earth, like just never having biological.
Get into like the construction of time, because they're not on a 24-hour clock and they figure that out. And yep. they're like, why are we being held to a different time?
Yeah.
Like, it's so bizarre.
It's incredibly bizarre.
Without routine and time and like habitual interaction.
Yeah.
Who are we?
Right. And also children are the fundamental basis of why society continues, not just literally, but also like where the will to carry on in difficult circumstances often comes from. Because these people are living, like obviously if you're in an ordeal and you know that it might end, you'll keep living for yourself. But if you're an ordeal and it will never end, who do you live for? You live for your children. And if you don't have children, you probably kill yourself. So it's basically like what happens when there's nothing to live for, but you just have to keep living.
You're living for survival.
Yeah.
A quote I highlighted, I wondered what would make me stop, whether it would be hunger, sleep, or boredom. In other words, what prompts decisions when you are utterly alone?
Oof.
The answer is, I don't know.
Yeah. How do you make decisions when it won't impact anyone but you, and when there's really no consequences other than what you can do to yourself?
You write a book.
Yeah. You just get old. You kind of just vibe it out. It's crazy how bored she is.
Well, and then talking about how funny she was sometimes, there's another quote I highlighted that says, if the only thing that differentiates us from animals is the fact that we hide to defecate, then being human rests on very little, I thought.
Period.
That's why it's funny. It's like, what if someone never had privacy? What would they even?
So matter of fact.
Yeah. She's like, why does it matter if no one can see you?
Well,
shit?
Everyone's excited when they get to like take a dump behind a curtain, and she's scared. She's never been alone until that moment. And you're like, yeah. Oh, that is so weird.
Yeah. She's like, what do you even do if no one can see you? Like, what would you be doing that no one could see?
But then she realizes she enjoys being alone.
Yeah, she does. And also the weirdest part of this book is in the beginning when she like figures out how to masturbate on accident, but she just sort of has tiny orgasms, like just
eruptions.
Eruption is staring at the male guard, which is interesting because it's almost like, how does sexuality develop when no one introduces the idea of sexuality to you?
We haven't said it, but they literally, like the men don't look at them. They don't speak to them. They just bring them food and that's it.
So like a single word is never spoken.
Despite her seeing these men and seeing a younger, attractive guard, she doesn't know what a man sounds like or like what he does other than pace back and forth.
Yep.
It's weird.
No concept of sex. No concept of kissing.
I wonder, like, did we need those guards in there to begin with? Other than it just stumps us all when they disappear.
All right. Well, also in the beginning, their purpose was more so to keep the older women in line.
True. I guess that's true.
Then over time, they've been in this cage for years, like 10 years. And so once the women figured out there was no way to escape, then the guards were just kind of there. They didn't even have to do anything because the women knew the rules.
But they fed them.
They fed them.
They kept them alive in many ways.
And to be fair, like, we don't know the time period for these, but it felt like, because the women were talking about like, very homemaker housewife-esque. So I kind of thought it was like 1960s, 1950s that they were sucked out of, like very Cold War era.
Right.
And like, I was thinking nuclear holocaust, something like that. But right. I wasn't sure.
There are men in other houses.
Yes.
Yeah.
So all of the women in that house, except for Anthea, were homemakers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What were the men?
That's true.
Also, like, the author was born in the 1920s, so it kind of makes sense because she would have been writing this book in, like, a very conservative time. But also, yeah, that is one of the twists, is after they get out, they're basically the only known survivors. It's sort of, like, not ever addressed then what the whole point of this was, if they were just going to let everyone die because they survived basically as an on accident. And yeah, and there were these other enclosures.
Yeah,
there were all these other enclosures with men. And so it was like, what was the point of even keeping men and women separate?
And as far as she walks, which turns out to be like hundreds and hundreds of miles.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of land. She does eventually come to like a valley, sort of, but it's always more cabins mm-hmm. with more dead people inside. Other than the school bus full of guards, which was interesting because they were killed by something. So she's like, okay, was there something we barely avoided by coming out late after the siren? Who knows?
Yeah, and also, the sirens aren't explained. Like, yeah.
One of the most maddening points in the book is she doesn't follow the road both ways. She just picks a direction and then eventually gets pulled off the road. And so we don't even know if there were other clues or anything. And she just eventually loses the will to figure it out.
Well, she finds a pretty sweet like bunker.
Right.
He's like, well.
And discovers books.
Great place to stop.
For the first time. Yeah, there's actual entertainment options for the first time in her life.
Like a bed.
Right. Machines to tinker with. Yeah. A bathroom.
A microwave.
Right.
Oh, yeah, the electricity's on underground.
Oh, also, we kind of assume that she dies of a cancerous tumor. So it seems to imply some kind of radiation or nuclear thing.
But also it's like an ovarian tumor. So she is literally the reproductive organ that has never worked for her is mm-hmm. now dying on her.
Yep. Yep. Anyway, we've been talking a lot, but I did like that there were no chapters. That's normally the kind of thing that would annoy me. But I think the whole purpose of the structure of this book is to create that feeling of sort of never ending isolation that the main character has.
She's just stream of consciousness writing down her whole life as she remembers it mm-hmm. for maybe someone to find, maybe not.
Right.
But
and to be fair, the only examples of chapter books she has are like Tolstoy and like books that she finds very late in life. Like she's never seen a chapter book. So it makes sense.
Well, and she's not writing a book. She's just writing a personal account. And like if you just sat down to write about your life, I don't think I'd put chapters
right.
in.
You just keep on going. Which is interesting because she also just wants to believe that she can exist in some meaningful way. It's almost like that, like, I don't even know what it's called, saying. It's cheesy, but it's also applies to this book. And it's like, if the tree falls in the forest and no one hears it, did it really fall? Like, did it really exist? And it is. It's like all these people lived on this planet or interface or whatever it is and then just died with no one apparently to discover them or witness their lives. Then did they exist? Like it's almost like she just never was real.
And she talks about like maybe mm-hmm. I'll find my papers or maybe I'll turn to dust and no one will ever know this.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, I don't like the non-finality of that. But
or maybe it was all a simulation.
Yeah, or maybe it was all simulation.
It's a dream.
It's a dream. Do you guys have any personal theories about the guards? And did they actually just disappear?
I have no idea.
I know.
I tried not to think too hard about it because then I wouldn't have liked the book.
It is frustrating. You have to let it go.
Yeah.
Which is also kind of why you understand why the main character lets it go. Because yeah. You can't just torture yourself the whole time.
It's maddening. Yeah.
What do you think about? She never had a name.
Yeah.
Because no one named her.
She's child.
I've read a few books recently with nameless narrators, but it's not because just no one took the time to give them a name.
Right.
That's a new one.
Child.
Right.
They could have been nice and named her.
They could have. They were not nice, despite all being homemakers with children.
Right.
Yeah, that was my thing. I was like, you literally lost your children. I feel like you would have the motherly instinct to like pick this child up and like raise it.
Well, wow. They
What's
couldn't.
The purpose of living?
They couldn't touch each other.
I should keep the child
metaphorically.
Right. Because also, I feel like if you survive a trauma like that, so they've all been ripped from their families. They don't know what happens to their husbands. They don't know what happens to their children. And then they're forced to live isolated in this very narrow universe with no point. So it's almost like, why care for the child when you're all just going to die in this weird cage and no one will ever know anything or do anything for you? Like, they're basically all just waiting to die.
Yeah.
So why nurture?
Commentary on the motherhood, too. Like,
yeah.
if there's no future for your child,
why care? Are you still a
mother?
Yeah. Oh God, scary.
You know, like if there's no hope for you or your kid, are you a mother? Like, what's the purpose of, isn't yeah. motherhood kind of ushering a kid into adulthood, you know?
Right. With no future, there's no motherhood.
I mean, to be fair, Aunt Theo was kind of a mother to her.
She was.
Not really. Not until the girl was finally like, hey, you're the only not stupid person in here.
Yeah.
And then like laughed in her face.
I sympathize for the women. I know that they were not kind necessarily, but I also kind of understand that response.
They were numb.
They were trauma.
And it almost is like the same thing with the motherhood question, just also what's the point of kindness and taking care of another if there's no future? There's not really any point to being a good or kind person. And there's also no point to being a mean and terrible person. Everyone was just sort of neutral.
Yeah, the narrator realized that someone was like, oh my gosh, I can say stuff to them. And it literally doesn't. She's like, I have a secret. And they're like, what is it? You have to tell us. She's like, no, I don't. What are you going to do about it?
Kill me? Well, you can't. And it's kind of funny because then they live for like any petty drama, which is also sort of how we live now. It's just like how we live now without any of the pretending. We just kind of surf from petty drama to petty drama.
Yeah, or look forward to what vegetables you have that day.
Right. What are you going to eat?
I'm so annoyed.
I'm annoyed. It's just, yes, it's a very frustrating book. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting.
This book longer than it took me to read it.
Yes. There's so much to discuss in it.
Yes.
Because also the world that they emerge into is so flat and featureless for the most part that it feels like she also never like comes around. Like she never, like the earth, you would eventually circle around to where you started.
Or like hit an ocean.
Right. No bodies of water.
Yeah. She found rivers and streams, but they were like nothing burgers. And then like the rest of it was all the same.
And no birds, no other animals.
That's why I'm thinking nuclear holocaust, but that could just be.
There were flowers.
Or even just like virtual universe, like they were in some simulation.
All right, okay.
But also then what would the point of that be still, and why would there be so many cages?
My would be, why don't you try and figure out where the power was coming from?
Mm-hmm.
Yes!
Dig up the lines, follow it.
But she doesn't understand machinery.
The other women did. They know lights have a power source, and they said as much. They just never thought to, like, follow it.
Yeah, I mean, who knows if they even
spend all this time learning how to build houses, dig some holes, and follow the power line.
And also, they didn't necessarily have that knowledge either. You know,
I feel like that's common sense. But
and at a certain point, what's the point?
I mean, true.
Just because you can find the source doesn't mean you can get out.
Yeah, but still,
I mean, after they got out.
Yeah, because I feel like all our logic about why to do things is to escape, so that you can return to having a future. If you just simply exist, that no future exists, and none of it matters.
Yeah, but the other women don't know that because they had a past. The narrator mm-hmm. doesn't care.
Right.
I don't know.
It's so weird.
The narrator calls these women stupid numerous times.
Yeah, she does. I also think there is something to be said about just what it does to you psychologically. Because this is not like their first day. It's like their 15th year.
And they were drugged.
They were drugged.
For maybe several years.
Right. They imply that, yeah, for several years, that's how they kept the woman accepting of the situation before, until they couldn't even remember what had happened and how to do anything. Because the narrator does comment on that, I think, about how the drug use had clearly eroded some of their ability to do logic. Because you just can't think anymore.
Recalling things.
Right.
Including like some like stuff.
Permanent memory damage.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, one of my favorite things, this isn't the question that we have up next, but it's something I'm dying to talk about. And it's what men mean and what happens when you have a world where there's no men, which basically means there's no predators that prey on women.
No future.
But also no future. I feel like I loved the commentary on that so much of like men not existing makes women free, but it also kind of defeats the purpose of life.
Yeah, like humanity needs both parts.
Right.
Also, like, I mean, not every woman is okay. Like, it's chill with just finding a relationship with another woman. Like, some of those right. women did not seek that. And, like, clearly there is some biological drive in a good amount of people that, you know, you got a man and a woman together.
Right.
Not everybody, but.
And also, even for the gay women in the group, it's still, like, there but with no children, yeah. there's no future. Like, with no other people, you have to have other people and this sort of continuing on of society and more things happening and more things being created to pass on in order for even that relationship to be satisfying.
Yeah, because once their partner died, they kind of died.
Right. Because
they've lost a lot of will to live, and that's when they start to realize, oh, I'm never leaving this place. I will just truly live to survive, and that is it. I have nothing to look forward to in my life. And that's a depressing thought, because, I mean, like, the last woman who died, Laura, basically died of a broken soul.
Yeah.
Well, and it's like the argument, like, okay, this one person is your whole life, you know, and you're so sad that you die, but is one person enough? And yeah. I don't think it was.
No. Right. I also did like that it's sort of funny to think of how she conceptualized men with no real meaningful idea of what a man is. And so, like, she's always like, so makeup is for men, like kissing is for men. Like, she's always like, what is the point of men? And it is sort of like, there's no point of men, but there's also like no point of women. It's just that they're there and they do things.
It's so funny because she has this whole conversation where they're talking about like their significant others and husbands and like their prior lives with their children. And she's just fully like, I don't get it. Like, why are you wanting to be with a husband? And like some of the women were like in shock because they were living in sin and like not getting married and stuff like that. And she's just like, marriage, what, why, what is that? Like,
yeah,
that makes sense. I'm like,
why would you be with someone in this very structured way?
Yeah, when she couldn't even picture what the sky looked like.
Right.
Why would she have these complex ideas of a relationship?
Right.
Well, it's a societal construct.
Right. And also, like, it's funny because she's always asking, like, are men good? Like, were men good? She can't even conceptualize, like, what their impact would have been. And it's sort of funny because you can see the other women being like, well, no. Like,
better off.
Right. Like, the only reason they could continue to exist unencumbered is because there were no men. Like, if you add men to the book, the whole thing becomes a shit show.
Hunger Games.
Yeah. And so they live freely and neutrally and peacefully because there are no men.
But are they happy?
But there's also no happiness or yeah. no future because there's no men. It's just, I love the, like, the tension there.
For a book written in the 1900s, it's very depth. Very when it comes to sexuality and psychology.
Yeah.
I feel like girls joke about all the time, like, I wish there are no men. Mm-hmm. But, like, after reading that book, I'm like, oh, just a few are okay.
Yeah. We need the men to be better. We don't need them to be gone. We need them to,
like, carry heavy things that we biologically are not built to do, you know?
Okay.
We need to train them better, y'all.
We do. We need to make them more productive. Okay. So one of the trippiest parts of the book is that they continually discover these cabins. And the main character eventually figures out that all these cabins are equidistant from each other on this basically grid pattern. Some of them have men, some of them have women, but it's always the same number and it's always only one gender. And of course, except the narrator and her tribe who eventually die off, they're all dead.
Yeah, it was like luck that they happened to be sliding them their food at that exact moment.
Mm-hmm.
And she could tell, like, other places it was a certain time of day in the routine. So they were not all on the same time schedule either. They right. were just, like, obscenely lucky. But then in, she's like, were we lucky? I don't know. Like, we escaped from one prison to another.
Right.
We lived for more years, but did we truly live?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think, personally, I think living under, like, the open sky is much better than living in a cage, but
starving,
like,
to death. Yeah, that's not great.
They had to keep going back down into the bunker thing to get food and stuff.
Right. There was no way to even provide for themselves. There was nothing to cook, nothing to forage.
They were lucky there were some trees.
Nothing right. to hunt.
Dreams.
Yeah. It's just such nothingness. But it also is, it's like, what's the point of it? And you can never get there. The world they're in is so confounding that anytime you get sort of a theory, there's another detail that like thwarts it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It feels very much like a computer game with no animals and no like anything.
Right, right. And also, why didn't they let them escape? Like, why did the guards leave and not help them?
Where did they go so fast?
And also,
die and disintegrate like Thanos snap?
Right. Like, given how big, like how many bunkers there were, we also know that there were, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, but also hundreds, well, maybe not hundreds of thousands, thousands. We don't know how big it is. But there are also thousands of guards because they needed like five guards for every enclosure. So then now there's like a lot of guards who are just gone.
And there was some structure to the guards. There was some basic, you know, company or something that operated them because they all had standard issue materials when she found that bus and were all together and they were all the same at every place.
Right.
So there is something.
And there was someone in charge because they had a fancy bunker.
Maybe they just beamed them all up and left.
Yeah.
But that doesn't explain the school bus. I think that's why the bus with the guards is there, just to like set you off right. a little bit.
Anyway, we can, but there's so much. We could go round and round on this forever. Okay. So this is nothing that isn't a question, but I wanted to kind of ask you guys what you thought about it. Because there's a time period where they're above ground and they're all living together. Before the narrator is alone, when they all understand that she's eventually going to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was like a really unique part in the book because you're just waiting for like her isolation almost. It's not even really a plot point. It's just like.
Well, and she foreshadows it the entire time. Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, then when this person died.
They all pitied her for it, too, knowing it was coming. And she's like, I was alone in the cage, too. Why do I care?
Yeah.
Because they...
She's felt different her whole life and never felt like she could relate to anyone. So alone doesn't feel that scary to her.
But they all pity her for it because yeah. they don't want to be alone, which is why they die of broken hearts and stuff.
They grew up in society with many, many people. She grew up with just 39 women.
Right. But I think this part of the book... is what brings home one of the final points, or at least what I thought one of the final points was, that even though this author, or the not the author, the main character in so many ways seems not human because she doesn't have all these markers of our like internalized, sociologized society, she realized that she did love and that she did crave companionship and society at the end. And that period of aloneness kind of proved to her like, oh, I miss talking to people, or even though I didn't touch people or really find comfort in them, there was still this sense of togetherness.
They sparked new thoughts in her head.
So right.
Keep going down another thought process.
Right.
And but, you know, the whole question is what makes a human human?
And you,
and she wonders that often.
Mm-hmm.
You could sort of tell even when her retelling after, like when they were building the society and building their own village. Mm-hmm. You could tell she loved them because like her, it was because she's writing in the past tense. The entire story's in the past tense. So she's writing this saying like, I remember Anthea's knowledge and wisdom and smile. And like, so there was parts of it where you felt like you could see that she actually was empathizing and like finding comfort in these people. And then at the end, she truly is getting more profound because she's truly alone and has no one but herself to like, bounce ideas off of. Mm-hmm. So she's really just thinking about, you know, this village is important to her, whether or not she says that, but like she wanted to move on from it because she had a curiosity and wanted to learn more. And she only just went with the group because she didn't feel comfortable leaving the group. Like that's what she always grew up with. So like she wasn't going to leave until the last person was gone. But she almost wanted that last person to be gone so that she could venture out and see more things. So it's an interesting dynamic. She could have left at any time.
Back to the one person's not enough thing.
Right.
Also, then when they die, the last one dies, she's like, I don't know. I like crossed her arms and put flowers and mm-hmm. sang a song because that's what we always did. But I have no idea why we did that.
And she had no emotion about killing the women who were sick and injured.
There were no rituals. There were no morals.
Right. But she still, it's interesting because it's like she had no morals and no sense of value in life, really. But at the end, that changes. The end, because she is dying and she, for the first time, kind of realizes the preciousness of having limited time, even if that's literally like the only currency you have to build life with.
But what is time? Is it measured by heartbeat? Is it measured by the rise of the sun?
There's no one there to see you if you don't have any of that stuff. The ending of this book actually made me cry. I felt like it was so vulnerable. I can't explain it. Because she just like realizes that she is human. Like a lot of this book is what makes someone human.
No, I still don't totally buy that she is, but
I think she is.
Like I think she's missing a lot of humanity.
Yeah, but does humanity need to be that way?
She's human in the sense a two-year-old is human.
But she still cares for the other people and is part of society.
She definitely cared for Anthea.
That's enough.
I agree. You know?
Is it?
And she wanted to share her thoughts and emotions and feelings by the end. She
serial killers want to do that too.
Well, yeah, I guess that's true. But
try to put her legacy down.
I'm just devil's advocate.
She wanted to pass her legacy. She had people who she cared about. She realized that she thought her life was precious, even though it was sort of filled with nothingness. And she only realized that at the end.
She cared a lot about her deaths, too. And she wanted to go out with dignity.
And knowing that she would die and it would all be for nothing was painful to her, even in its sort of weird way. I think that's human. And I think that's kind of one of the points of the book is look at all the things you can take away and look at how humans still do the same things or like find meaning in the same things.
Caitlin's not convinced.
She's not convinced. I haven't won her over.
I mean, I feel like part of the mystery for me was also that I just still don't know how I felt about the narrator. So
yeah. Well, she's really complicated.
I don't know how I felt about anything, which is why I was okay with the ending still open.
Yeah. And I'm just indifferent. So I didn't really care either way.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. This book really touched me to my core.
I could tell.
I also feel like I think about this with my parents. And it makes me sad. Like if I get too high one night, this will actually make me cry. Is thinking about like, once my parents die, eventually me and my sisters will die. And then no one who knew them will be alive anymore.
Well, that's depressing.
Yeah. But that's what this book is kind of like about. Is like, once everyone who knows you dies, you don't exist anymore.
Okay, I'm knocking it down to 2 stars then. I don't want to think about that.
That is like the entire purpose of anyone in the world ever creating art is to be remembered beyond their time. That's not like a
new. I know.
Touch humans and like be human past your death.
I'm kidding. But yes, that's depressing to think about. And I don't want to think about my parents' death.
It's inferior knowledge too. Like when no one says your name anymore, you're truly dead.
Yes.
Hey. Sorry, I had to yell at my dog. Okay, so what did you ultimately think about the narrator's end account of her life and the fact that she wrote everything down for someone or no one to find?
First of all, she didn't know how to read or write, so I don't really know how she did that, but
no, they taught her.
Sort of. In the dirt.
Yeah, in the dirt.
She learned mostly by reading a gardening book.
And a space book.
Tolstoy.
Yeah. And Tolstoy.
Still. Like I said, I don't know how I feel about her. I don't know how I feel about the ending. I don't know anything.
She's very smart. I give her that. She's very smart.
Mm-hmm. Because she's unencumbered by emotion.
So she's a sociopath.
Yeah.
I don't think she's actually a sociopath. I think this is one of the reasons this book is interesting. Because it's like, what truly makes someone a sociopath?
I don't think she, like, is that because of, like, in the, I think it's just her circumstance, not like a genetic or inherited thing.
Right. But then what does it mean to be a sociopath if everyone would be a sociopath if we didn't raise them in society and tell them to care about people?
They
grew up in society.
Yeah.
It's very much so nature versus nurture, and she got neither of them.
Yeah. It is. It's like, well, is that really what the human brain is and how humans would act? I think maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Society really does form us into what we become.
Anyway, I do think that the action of writing it all down is very interesting for someone who has never really understood human connection.
I feel like, though, she takes it from almost a scientific perspective. Like, maybe someone will find this someday and learn someone did escape. She's not necessarily even saying it as, maybe someone will read it and they'll know my name and I'll be remembered. She's doing
the writer
it,
fucking name.
No, she doesn't.
She's doing it so, like, hey, this thing happened, in case you're wondering.
But why do that at all?
In case someone else...
Hey, see that dead body over there? That's me.
That's inherently, though, like, thinking about people and doing something for another person.
I don't know. I feel like she's very clinical about it.
She's clinical about it, but I feel like that's just her way. Like, she wouldn't say this the way we would say it, because that's just not the world she grew up in.
Yeah. Here's another question. Do you think she ended up killing herself?
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
Really?
Yeah. She did it for all the other women.
Yeah, true.
If you're sick and you're hurting, why not?
I mean, that's a different topic.
It's hard to do. But
yeah,
maybe there trigger warnings, guys.
Yeah, sorry. But there's
we didn't get any trigger warnings for this book. Jesus Christ.
This book is triggering, though, because it's so disturbing and it's so much about, like, loneliness.
Put trigger warning in the description.
Yeah, we'll try to retroactively for dark people. Well, do you guys think anyone else is out there? What's left of Earth? What's left of people?
I'd hope so.
Someone's out there.
The guard went somewhere.
Yeah.
Someone's alive. Humanity is alive. She's not the fucking last human.
No, where are they? Young guard is
the hot young guard.
Hot young guard.
Right. My theory on the guards is I think they had to have been, like, born and raised there or something. Even though that doesn't make sense either.
No, because she was talking about they were all old, and then one day there was a younger one.
Yeah, but it's like, how do you make people who grew up in regular society enforce the standards of this society? I think she comes to the conclusion in the book that they were also, like, prisoners of some sort.
Remembering this girl survived the Holocaust. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying in the book, like.
Yeah. But they're definitely the narrator grew up in a normal society who enforced things they shouldn't have. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well,
they're the Nazis. Yes.
That is true.
Yeah.
But the lack of human emotion from the guards, like, they had no emotion. Like, no anger.
Scared of something or someone.
And that's why the narrator concludes that they were also prisoners in some way.
Which I think is fair. There was an incentive of some sort to act the way they did.
Right. Dang. Well, I think that's it.
Damn.
The main character dies. Yeah.
Probably.
Surely she does.
We don't know, though.
You're such an optimist.
She finished writing her story and then says that she's probably going to commit suicide. We don't know if she does.
See, probably.
I think she does.
Okay. I have a book recommendation.
Oh, okay. I have not thought at all about what I'm going to recommend.
I did, because when I was reading it, it reminded me in a weird way of another book we have read, and that would be Lone Women.
Okay.
Fair.
In the same way,
loneliness, like,
women isolated on the plains.
Yeah.
A little bit of a sinister undertone.
Yeah. I think that's a good recommendation. I'm going to recommend Tender as the Flesh.
Fair. Yeah.
It's short, literary, and disturbing in sort of a similar way.
It's what makes a human a human.
Yeah.
Yeah. For lit fic, I'm going to recommend Martyr.
Yeah.
Or just general women being badasses, Bury Our Bones in the Midnight Soil.
Yeah, I was going to say, this book, in the most tangential way, reminds me of Bury Our Bones in the Midnight Soil.
What makes a woman a woman?
What makes a woman a woman? What's it's life?
What makes her a vampire?
Yeah.
Do you need men?
Hey, if you could just create vampires and live forever. No.
Right. Wow. Okay, cool. Well, let us know what you thought of this book. This book is so perplexing. If you have hot takes or theories, please send them our way. And you can do that pretty much everywhere online at Busy Girls Pod. All right. I'm Casey.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Catherine. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.